You're listening to the Victor Morrow Show, news and politics from an unbiased point of view. In a world full of lies, there's only one thing that remains true: the Victor Morrow Show. Many of you probably still remember the Pat Tillman story. He was a U.S. soldier, former NFL player. He played for the Arizona Cardinals. And he was killed in Afghanistan, they say by friendly fire, but it has been exposed that the real reason why he was killed was because he was going to expose the real reason why troops were in Afghanistan in the first place was to protect poppy fields. So let's see if I can get this clip here. I'll pull this clip up here. And then I'm going to come back and give my commentary on this.
What can you tell us about the growing number of military suicides that have been reported over the past few months? I would imagine that there are plenty of soldiers who just can't live with themselves in terms of what they are being told, not asked, told to do.
Well, you're right in one sense that there are soldiers committing suicide, but we've been told by soldiers, some of them sergeants and others at high levels, that if a soldier speaks out like Pat Tillman did in Afghanistan, that famous football player who became an Army Ranger, and he found out that we were just in Afghanistan to protect 30 times the amount of poppy fields that we've replanted now. The Taliban destroyed the poppy fields, and U.S. bankers, the New York bankers, were losing $300 million a month. So that's why we went into Afghanistan to replant the poppy fields and destroy the Taliban. And now we've planted 30 times the poppy fields now. And Pat Tillman found out that's the reason we're there, to protect these poppy fields for the international banksters. And he said he was going to come home and take over the anti-war movement. In the next few days, he got shot in the head three times, in the forehead three times, was assassinated. And then I had a female, a good young lady from Prescott, Arizona, who was a Mormon, who went there as a translator for the torture prisons that they had in Afghanistan and Iraq. And she spent 3 days in there trying to interpret for these people being tortured. And she came out and said, "I'm not going to do this anymore. No way, no how." So they put her on guard duty on the gate. And a few days later, she allegedly committed suicide with her rifle. So what we've been told by soldiers coming back, and some of them officers, is that if you speak out and say you're not going to shoot this child in the head anymore, I'm not doing that anymore, then in the next few days you're suicided, and they write to your folks and tell them that you committed suicide because they don't want you coming home and telling these stories.
Be that as it may, if you're smart, you don't speak out in a venue in which they know what you're going to do. You speak out by actually doing it.
Yeah, these seven soldiers that have come home and told us about executing men, women, and children on command with their revolvers and their rifles say they can't sleep at night. They're having trouble sleeping. They wake up screaming that they see a little boy's head blow up and a little girl's head blow up that they just executed. And so they're coming back with PTSD really severe.
The solution may be to have a formal mutiny. Maybe the commanders need to be arrested for issuing illegal orders to go out and murder innocent people.
Well, they're being told in their training, we've been told, that these Muslims are not human, that they're not human and they have no souls. So they're being trained that way so that they will easily shoot them in the head and do this genocide that we're doing in those areas. So the communist Zionists can take over, and they have taken over. Of course, they control our military today.
So, okay. There was a lot being said right there, right? But they say 300 million the banksters were losing because the Taliban was destroying the poppy fields. So this is the real reason soldiers were over in Afghanistan. Once again, this is America en masse showing the hypocrisy of America. The same nation, the same country that goes over into these other nations and tell them they're wrong for living this way, or tell them they're wrong for their beliefs and their religions and their laws. The same damn country sponsored soldiers to go into Iraq and Afghanistan and just murder, torture, all in the name, especially in Afghanistan, all in the name of protecting poppy fields. And who got the money? Who was that money going to? The banksters. The powers that be. And then they have the nerve to get mad at Colin Kaepernick for not standing for the damn national anthem. See the hypocrisy? Oh, how quickly do we forget the dirt that is on that American flag? How quick are we to forget? This country created its own opioid crisis. Or they want to blame it on Mexico. So I'm going to get into that in a minute. You are listening to the Victor Morrow Show via Morrow World Radio. If you want all of the Morrow content, MorrowWorldRadio.com is where you want to go for the Victor Morrow Show, for the Morrow Takeover Show, for the Morrow Effect. It's all right there at MorrowWorldRadio.com. Okay, coming back. A lot has been said about Mexico, and Trump has made the claims that the people crossing the border or the Mexicans are criminals and rapists, and we've all heard all that, right? Okay, well, also fueling America's hate for Mexico is the opioid crisis, which is being blamed on Mexico. Now, I played that first clip of Pat Tillman and how they were going to expose the poppy fields in Afghanistan. And that was a setup for this topic here, the opioid crisis in America. First of all, we all know and understand that the war on drugs was meant to affect black neighborhoods, black and Latino neighborhoods. And to be honest, you could say poor white neighborhoods. But this opioid thing is affecting, is affecting so-called everyone, right? And this is from the usnews.com. This is an old article from 2017, but I want to make this point here. It says, to solve the opioid crisis, go to war. Is it so crazy to consider using military force against Mexican drug cartels? So once again, the United States is putting this blame on someone else. although I do have another clip that explains how the United States government created the opioid crisis, but they want to blame someone else. They want to put it on Mexico. They want to go pick on Mexico. So then you think about Trump and the border and the wall and calling them rapists and criminals and how this all ties in. Because the United States government does not want you to know that they are responsible. But I'm going to read this article anyway. I'll entertain what U.S. News has to say. It says, we will spend $10 billion on addiction treatment overdose responses, law enforcement activities, criminal justice processes, and the ancillary costs associated with caring for the children of those who die from overdoses. Okay. At the top, it says here, it says, experts estimate that as many as 500,000 Americans could die from opioids over the next 10 years. Nearly all of the heroin hitting our streets is coming from Mexico. This is what they claim. Says Mexico is also becoming, in some parts of the country, the main supplier of methamphetamine and it says methamphetamine to the U.S., with overdose death rates increasing as the supply has surged. So, again, putting it on Mexico. But the United States started this. Now, I'm gonna skip back down to where I started at. And it says, regardless of how much we spend, if we cannot substantially reduce or stop the flow of opioids and other death drugs across our southern border, and to a lesser extent through our mail system via China. See, this is, again, put this on someone else. We will continue to see tens of thousands of Americans die each year due to opioid and meth overdoses. Now notice these drugs are mainly concerning other than black. Because black people ain't on meth. When there's something concerning us, black folk, nobody cares. Just pay attention. Right. But anyway, you get the point behind what I'm saying. In other words, they are looking to justify military action in Mexico. Now you understand why they put Trump in office. Because Obama wasn't going to do it. This is kind of deep when you think about it. You can see the setup and the plan. Now, again, this article was written in 2017. Okay. Let me see if I can get a little bit out of here. Because this is kind of important, too. It says, rather educated proponents of extending the southern border wall know... the purpose of a longer wall is focused on three far more important goals. First, make it harder for the Mexican cartels to send death drugs into the heart of America. Next, aim to reduce the human trafficking of forced prostitutes from Central and South America. And lastly, stop terrorists. Oh, here goes that terrorist word again. See? Same trick. Same trick. Stop terrorists from getting into our country with a weapon of mass destruction. Now, doesn't that sound familiar? Hot damn. Hot damn. Ain't that a bitch? You see, 8 years of Obama, the economy's doing good. We've forgotten about the Afghanistan and Iraq wars. They figure we're stupid. We don't pay attention. They come back and use the same rhetoric, same wording. This is exactly, if anyone has a memory, they can remember things beyond 10 years. If you can remember 18 years ago, okay, then you'll know that this is the exact wording before we went to war with Afghanistan and Iraq. I'll read it for you again. It says, lastly, to stop terrorists from getting into our country with a weapon of mass destruction. Playing on your fears. And you know the dumbass conservatives, right? You know those idiots down south in the middle America. They hear that word terrorists. They hear them words, weapons of mass destruction. And they got to go get their guns. Okay, they got to go load up. Let's go get them damn terrorists. Because they didn't hear nothing else that was being said. When the Al-Qaeda come to America, we going to shoot them with our guns. Right? You know how they are. You know how they are. And right now they worship Trump. They believe everything Trump say. This is very interesting. But anyway, I'm going to come back, right? And I'm going to come back with the clip to kind of like expose how the U.S. government itself is really responsible for the opioid. The opioid crisis, which they're trying to blame on Mexico. I'll be back. It's the Victor Morrow Show via Morrow World Radio. MorrowWorldRadio.com, VictorMorrowShow.com. Back as promised, and I do have that clip ready. Some of you may have seen it on 60 Minutes. But here it is once again.
Explosive joint investigation by 60 Minutes and the Washington Post. Whistleblowers tell Bill Whitaker how the drug industry, with the help of Congress, turned an epidemic into a full-blown crisis. Here's a preview of Sunday's report. This is an industry that's out of control. What they want to do is do what they want to do and not worry about what the law is. And if they don't follow the law in drug supply, people die. That's just it. People die.
Joe Renesisi is a tough, blunt, former DEA deputy assistant administrator with a law degree, a pharmacy degree, and a smoldering rage at the unrelenting death toll from opioids. His greatest ire is reserved for the distributors, some of them multi-billion dollar Fortune 500 companies. They are the middlemen that ship the pain pills from manufacturers like Purdue Pharma and Johnson & Johnson to drugstores all over the country. Renesisi accuses the distributors of fueling the opioid epidemic by turning a blind eye to pain pills being diverted to illicit use.
This is an industry that allowed millions and millions of drugs to go into bad pharmacies and doctors' offices that distributed them out to people who had no legitimate need for those drugs. Who are these distributors? The three largest distributors are Cardinal Health, McKesson, and AmerisourceBergen. They control probably 85 or 90% of the drugs going downstream.
You know the implication of what you're saying, that these big companies knew that they were pumping drugs into American communities that were killing people.
That's not an implication, that's a fact. That's exactly what they did.
The Hellcat Distribution Alliance represents the drug distribution companies. It told 60 Minutes they wanted to work with the DEA and that effective enforcement must be a two-way street. Bill Whitaker is here along with Washington Post investigative reporter Scott Higham. Good morning.
Good morning.
Bill, let me begin with this. Exactly what was those distributors doing?
Well, the distributors are the companies that ship the drugs from the manufacturers to the pharmacies all across the country. They are required by law to keep track of every single pill they ship. And they're also supposed to alert the DEA of anything suspicious, any suspicious shipments. An example, one small town in West Virginia of 390-some people got shipments of 9 million opioid pills over the course of a few years. That should have set off alarm bells within the companies to tell the DEA there's a problem here. But the DEA whistleblowers we talked to said that happened again and again and again.
Scott, describe your investigation. It's been more than a year in the making, right?
That's right, Nora. We began this investigation about a year ago, and it was begun by a really dogged reporter at the Washington Post by the name of Lenny Bernstein. And Lenny wanted to get answers to a couple of key questions. Why were so many people dying of opioid epidemic of overdoses? And where were all these drugs coming from? So he started crashing the phones, calling people, and he came across this guy named Joe Ranazzisi, who was a whistleblower at the DEA. He had been forced out of his job, and he ran a little office in the DEA called the Diversion Control Division. Lenny had never heard of it. I had never heard of it. This is a group of men and women, very dedicated DEA investigators, who do nothing but regulate the pharmaceutical industry. And pretty soon, we started interviewing other whistleblowers, really amazing people across the country who brought us inside the opioid war between the DEA and very powerful forces in Washington, D.C.
And Bill, I'm sure you spoke to lawmakers about this. What was their reaction?
We tried to speak to lawmakers. We did speak to some of them. But the whistleblowers we spoke to said that the drug industry was so powerful, so wealthy, so influential. During the course of the debate over the bill, they pumped $106 million into lobbying Congress on the bill and on other legislation. And the sponsors of the bills got campaign contributions, some of them more than $100,000. And the whistleblowers told us that they thought the influence of the drug companies was more influential than the suffering of their constituents.
What did you hear from the lawmakers?
Well, we heard, we tried again and again and again to get to the sponsors of the bills. We called them for months. We actually went to their offices in Washington, D.C., and in one instance had the door shut in our face. We were not able to get to the sponsors of the bill to hear what they had to say.
I mean, the implication, Scott, is not only did people know about it, but that they were complicit in it because they were profiting from these opioid addictions and deaths, quite frankly.
That's right. These DEA people that we spoke to, Noor, who were out in the field, they were building these cases. They were seeing people die left and right, hundreds of millions of pills coming into these communities. And they would build these cases, they would send them to Washington, D.C., and they would just die on the vine. And they didn't understand what was going on, why their cases couldn't get through Washington. And then they started to realize that there was a lot of lobbying going on. There were a lot of people who used to work at the DEA and Department of Justice who were lobbying their former colleagues at DEA and Justice, and their cases just languished.
This is finally, I feel like, putting a face on why is this happening? Right. Why is this happening? You know, I mean, that question, that simple question, it's because you're explaining it in this investigation.
I mean, in fact, Scott, you said this is the swampiest thing you've ever seen in your investigative career.
Well, you know, at the height of the worst drug crisis in this country, for Congress to pass a law that hobbles the DEA's efforts to rein in this epidemic is just, it takes your breath away.
The president has promised to drain the swamp. We'll see if the administration can address this issue.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, guys. You can see the full investigation into what's
behind the He don't want to drain no damn swamp. He is the damn swamp. He ain't going to drain no damn swamp. He is the damn swamp. And they are profiting from this epidemic. So keep in mind, they profited it off of putting drugs into the black neighborhoods for years, man. Creating these black kingpins, such as your Frank Lucas's and your Nicky Bonds and your Rayful Edmonds and Al Poe and all these. But it was always the government behind them. Just ask Rick Ross. Now they're doing to white people what they've already done to us. So now it's a crisis. Now it's an epidemic. Now it's something that needs to be investigated. But in the meantime, they want to blame Mexico. But as you just heard, this is something that's been definitely done by the government, yeah, as such as everything else. Even if you, okay, let's say you want to be a dumbass and you want to blame Mexico, Mexican cartels. Okay, no problem. But who helped the Mexican cartels? The United States government. How do you know? Because if not, they would just go crush them. The United States has the military power to just crush whatever they want. They allowed them to do what they did as long as they wanted to. Now they want to justify going into Mexico because they have other plans. And trust me, it ain't to stop terrorism. It ain't to stop Mexican drug cartels. They have other plans. All you have to do is just search. You see? It's all just a game, ladies and gentlemen. It's all just a game. Why is there so much heat on Mexico? Why is there so much attention on the border? How ironic. How ironic that the president that comes in talking about he's going to build a wall and we have an opioid crisis that was built by the United States government that they want to blame on Mexico. It's all just a game. So, why does Victor Maro always talk about racism? Here's why. In Italy, this is from News One, by the way. Italian political party sues Italy's first black cabinet minister for racism. Why? Because they called her an orangutan and threw bananas at her and just completely disrespected her. They said she should be raped. But now they want to sue her for calling the party racist. This is from News One. It says, the irony is hard to miss. Italy's first right political party League claimed in a lawsuit that the country's first black cabinet minister is a racist. Cecile Kyenge received notice on September 14th of a trial to defend herself in a defamation lawsuit filed by the League's interior minister. I believe I'm saying his name right. Minister Matteo Salvini. Says Salvini, who has been criticized for creating a climate of hate in Italy, is angry that Kyenge has called this party racist. Yet party leaders have called Kyenge an orangutan and said she should be raped, as the Congo-born eye surgeon has endured people throwing bananas at her on several occasions, the Washington Post reported. Okay. The lawsuit stems from an interview in 2014 during an annual Social Democratic event that celebrates across the nation. Kyenge, Italy's former Minister of Integration, remarked that the party is racist. She will face trial over that comment. Like, imagine, this is crazy. Imagine you join a fisherman's club, right? And it's, let's say you go to Tennessee and you join a fisherman's club, and it's called the, you know, it's called the Bass Hunters or something like that, right? Now you join the Bass Hunters, and it's all white, and it's 1,000 of them across Tennessee, okay? And while you're there, they call you niggers, they call you nigger, they call you coon, they call you monkey, throw bananas at you, eat a watermelon in your face and say, hey, you like that nigger? Eating a watermelon, right? And you minding your business, you just fishing. You're like, man, why are you bringing this shit to me? So then you report it to the local, I don't know, paper. And they ask you, what do you think about the Bass Hunters? And you say, well, they're racist. They say, why? You say, well, they call me nigger, they call me coon, they call me all kinds of derogative names. And then the newspaper reports it, and then the Bass Hunters, the racist organization, decides they want to sue you for it. That's what's happening here. It's like, how dare you call us racist, even though we've called you racist names. But that's what's happening. But we know how Italians get down and how Italians feel about black folk. You know, it's bad. But this is just another example. And I'm sure Fox News will take this and say, oh, she's just using a race card. She's just race baiting. Because according to them, racism doesn't exist anymore. It's all just a figure of imagination. It's a figment of our imagination. And we're just making this shit up, you know. So I'm going to take the time out now. And this is extra content. So I'm going to take the time out and read some comments from the comment board. A lot of black people are commenting on this. And I want to kind of get a feel for what they got to say. Someone wrote, Italians are literally some of the most racist Europeans out there. Another person wrote, what the fuck, Italy? I'm not surprised. Italy is one of the most racist countries in the world. Someone else wrote, interesting choice of words, saying she should be raped because that's a huge problem black women have faced over there. But no one wants to talk about it. Someone else wrote, as those Italian clowns, it says, as those Italian clowns wear their dark hair, dark eyes, and olive skin come from. Here's a hint. They rule parts of that area along with Europe, Sicily, and others. And I'm guessing they're speaking about the Moors. Because that's that old saying that blacks were ruling Europe at one point. Someone else wrote, the hypocrisy of these white people. So she says racist. So she's racist for bringing up biased, covert, and outright racism towards the European failed racialized supremacist system. Okay. Someone else wrote, she's in a wrong country. Yeah, she's in the wrong country. Damn sure. Someone else wrote, they're accusing her first before she accuses them. They think they are slick. Someone else wrote, you live in a worldwide system of racism, white supremacy, and until we solve that problem, nothing will change. Someone else wrote this, and this is this is deep. It says, Italians just have surpassed France in the level of their racist antics. Nope. Never mind. France still has Haiti under their strap. This makes no sense. This is crazy as racism itself is crazy. Let's see. Another person wrote, why didn't she stay in her country and help her own people? Mm. I can't even comment on that. I'm going to leave that one alone. Another person wrote, more whites that act like they don't know what the word racist mean. And we know them Italians still mad at Hannibal. Okay. Somebody else wrote, you are aware that Hannibal lost the war in the end of the Romans, blah, 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 blah. Whatever. That's history. okay, I might end it on this one. It says, she should take her education and experience and help make her home country a better place instead of wasting it putting up with trash to make Italy a better place when it will only benefit the ones who hate her. And someone put, and I agree with that, someone wrote, I'm sure they could use more eye surgeons back in Congo. And didn't Dikembe Mutombo build a hospital there recently? So, I don't know. You're listening to the Victor Morrow Show. News and politics from an unbiased point of view. In a world full of lies, there's only one thing that remains true. The Victor Morrow Show.